Welcome to Love Rules, the radio ministry of Roxbury Presbyterian Church in Boston. My mom, Liz Walker, was Boston's first African-American television news anchor, but her most important job is what she does right now at RPC, preaching the good news about God's love. The Bible says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. How does that work? Join my mom now as she offers us Love Rules from Roxbury Presbyterian Church.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Love Rules. Today's message is called The Shepherd's Lesson, and our text is from the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, the 8th through the 15th verses. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock at night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." Place is a very important aspect in the Bible, and especially in the nativity story. Among the definitions of nativity are place, time, and circumstances of birth. There are many reasons for this, including the fact that God is a God of particularity. He is not a God of some abstract theories or concepts. He's a God who has chosen to work through one person, Jesus Christ. God chooses to work through specific times and in specific places. There is a lot of shifting from place to place in the story of the Nativity. Mary and Joseph traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem. The wise men came from the east, perhaps as far away as Persia. Our faith is often referred to as journey. There is always movement, you see, when God is involved. There are those who argue that it is the particularity of the Christian story that makes it problematic. If God chose one person, group, or place, doesn't that leave out many, many others? How can a universal God also be a God of particulars? Well, I believe your perspective on this question depends not so much on where God moves, but where you are relative to God's movement. What this story about the shepherd tells us is that God shows up in the most unexpected places. That's the only way to explain the shepherd's part of the story. Now, we're clear about Mary and Joseph's role. We can even understand why the Magi showed up, because they had these incredible gifts. But the shepherds? What is that about? And we don't know a lot about shepherds, except for maybe what we've read in the 23rd Psalms. But shepherds were nomads. Their lives consisted a lot of movement. In order to take care of sheep, they had to move from pasture to pasture. Most times, folks didn't even like shepherds. They didn't trust them. They considered them outcasts. They were hired hands at the bottom of the social scale. They were dirty and smelly. You'd be dirty, too, if you spent all day every day with sheep. Hard workers, but not appealing to others. Here, the shepherds are minding their own business, and suddenly an angel appears. Now, we have this sentimental view of angels as those chubby-cheeked kids holding those little bow and arrows. But the sense I get from this reading is this angel might have been frightening, because the first thing he says is, "Don't be scared. Don't be afraid." Something extraordinary, overwhelming, is interrupting your life as you know it. Now remember, the shepherds had no idea what was going to happen. They weren't like the Magi. They weren't following a star. All they knew is they were minding their own business, and something unbelievable happened. Can you imagine how disconcerting that moment would have been? It would be different if they'd been searching for God, or if they'd had 9 months like Mary to ponder in their hearts what was about to happen. But they didn't. They weren't praying. They weren't having Bible study. Nothing even says they were religious. They were simply going about their lives, probably tired, distracted, up all night, tending to those smelly sheep. And suddenly, without warning, God's angel shows up. Well, there are two things we can learn from this. First of all, God steps in where God wants to step in. And when God steps in, something is about to change. Very seldom does God step in such a profound way as to say, "You're doing fine, stay the course, I just stepped by to say hi." Most times when God steps in, something is about to change. And the problem there is nobody likes change. Look at all the stories in the Bible where God stepped in. We don't want to go back to Nineveh. We don't want to leave Egypt. We don't want to leave the desert. We've been stumbling around here for 40 years. Who knows what Canaan is about? We don't want to give up all our money and follow Jesus. We certainly don't want to pick up our crosses. Even when everything you've read and heard is that God only wants good for you and will improve your life and take you to glory and give you eternity, you still have a hard time when God steps in because something has to change. You know, I was called to the ministry out of television news, and I wasn't particularly ready to leave television news. It wasn't such a simple thing for me. But I had people who told me God was calling me. And so the idea that I was going to something better, I couldn't believe it. Christian author C.S. Lewis wrote that we are not necessarily doubting that God will do the best for us. We are simply wondering how painful the best will turn out to be. But God steps in wherever and whenever God wants. God chooses because God seeks us. That is the particularity of this text. Luke 10, verse 2. "The angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people.'" This good news is addressed to you, particularly to you. You see, this is all personal. And most often, the message interrupts something, our sense of comfort, our sense of well-being, our self-sufficiency. God's message to us will interrupt something. God's message interrupted these shepherds right where they were in order to announce God's work. And here's the other part. God often shows up unexpectedly in the midst of ordinariness. You know, if you think God is too big or too perfect to speak to you because you don't go to church every Sunday or because your life is less than holy, then here I am to tell you, you are wrong. By appearing to shepherds, God showed God's willingness to appear to anyone who is listening. I have always thought, particularly because of my own call, that God calls us all, but many of us don't listen. In this text, in this context, God came unexpectedly at night to those who were simply going about their daily occupations. They were on the night shift. The shepherds had not withdrawn from the world to seek holiness. Holiness sought them out. And I would suggest to you this morning that holiness can seek you. God desires for us to have the best that God offers in love, in joy, and peace. Let's look back at that verse 14. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those he favors.'" Now, the Greek term here, "for whom he favors," is sometimes translated "his good pleasure." The angels are not announcing that peace is at hand for those who have pleased God, but rather that peace is to be realized. The earthly component of God's glory is God's gracious gift bestowed at God's good pleasure. It is also important to remember that God seeks us at and for God's pleasure. You know, sometimes we think, well, God is only going to go for the people who have pleased God. But But then how often do we really please God? God's intention is to interrupt the evil, sin-soaked world. He wants to stop business as usual. And we need to be open to that. We need to even ask for that. We need to look for that, or at least be ready for the surprise. It's not that we have to go out searching all the time. You know, sometimes I think we try to be good, and that's our biggest problem, because we try so hard. And we forget that this is really not so much about our efforts. This is about God's pulling us to God. Now, please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that you shouldn't try to be good. But just remember, God steps in at God's pleasure. Don't be afraid. Remember, there is good news of great joy. We could be living the most ordinary life, and God could step in and change everything. During this holiday season, I pray that these words give you some comfort, and I pray it gives you peace. God interrupts for good. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in. Roxbury Presbyterian Church is located at 328 Warren Street, right in the heart of Roxbury. Come worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. This is a listener-supported program. We invite you to partner with us and learn the many ways that love rules. Visit us on our website, roxburypresbyterianchurch.org, or call us at 617-445-2116. Love will reign if you love.